Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
We're really happy today to have with us Father John Ricardo, who's been Michigan, and I live in the Diocese of Lansing. Father John lives in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Father John, it's just great to have you again.
Honored to be back. Thanks, Ralph.
Yeah, and I know you have something on your mind and heart that you really feel like would be really helpful for people to hear about, grieving but still with hope.
Yeah, I do. You know, it comes from that passage where Paul says in Thessalonians, one of his letters, where he says, we would have you be clear, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, lest you grieve like those who have no hope. And I think from the first moment that I used or saw that passage at a funeral that I presided at, it just jumped out at me. So Paul's not saying, hey, you know what, stop grieving.
Yeah.
That would be insane, right? He's trying to teach us, or rather the Lord's trying to teach us through Paul, how to grieve with hope.
Yeah.
Well, what a timely topic. I mean, I'm constantly dealing with grief, not only the people that I'm caring for, but in my own life as a man who's lost loved ones. So I had an experience not too long ago that has just so changed how I understand the communion that we share with those who've gone before us.
Well, you know, I think there's just, I mean, who wouldn't be interested in hearing about that? So let's hear about it.
So it's an odd experience. So this is how it happens. So it's a Saturday night, it's after Mass. So I'd come home, happened to be one of those nights where I had nothing going on, which was, you know, kind of rare. It was great. I loved it. Made a bowl of pasta, went downstairs, turned on the TV. I'm watching a college football game. And the game hasn't even started yet, but it's a night game and the stadium, doesn't matter where it was, everybody's dressed in white, about 95,000 people in the stands. And this particular university is known for having what they call a drill team. They don't have cheerleaders, they have a drill team that just whips the crowd up into a frenzy. So, you know, here's all these people in white and the stadium is so loud. It's a two-tiered stadium. It's actually bouncing. So I'm not praying, I'm just watching this football game. And as I'm sitting there, I hear the Lord say, that's heaven. And I said, what? I'm just watching a football game, Lord, you know?
Yeah.
He says, that's heaven. And I immediately think of Hebrews 12, which has always been a passage that's been inspiring to me. You know, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's strive to take hold of you know, all that the Lord has done for us. So the Lord's just been teaching me. This has been happening for a series of months, maybe even a couple of years now. But he's helped me to really understand. And I think this is so helpful for us who are dealing with, you know, my mom's passed away or a child died, or my best friend's gone. Like, where are they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do they see us? Can we talk to them? What are they doing right now? So Paul uses, or whoever the author of the letter to the Hebrews, uses this image of a stadium, which is what I felt like the Lord gave me as I'm watching this game, or just trying to unpack it further for me, that, okay, so all those who've gone before us, certainly all the saints, they're not just sitting up there in heaven going, man, I am so glad I do not live in 21st century America. Because nobody goes to a football game to watch the game. They go there to change the game. They go there to change the outcome. That's what enables, you know, in this case, 22 people running up and down on a piece of grass or artificial turf to do things which in their backyard they could never do on their own. Because all of a sudden having tens of thousands of people cheering for you inspires you and ennobles you. And so the saints who've gone before us in heaven, they're not just watching us. You know, Revelation talks about how they're praying for us. You know, they're crying out from beneath the altar on our behalf. So fast forward a couple months after this scene, I'm at a wake for a good friend of mine's mom. This guy's dad had passed away maybe 20 years before. There were 12, 14 children that they had. A couple of them had passed away. So I'm sitting there leading the rosary at the wake, and there's this beautiful picture of the mother who had passed away. And we're just praying the rosary. And as I'm praying the rosary with them, all of a sudden I see the stadium again. And I see the woman, she's walking down the concourse. You know, so it's this massive complex. And she's walking out, she can't find a seat. There's no seats in the stadium. There's one seat, it's on the end of an aisle. And so she taps this one guy on the shoulder, he turns around, it's her husband. And there's this huge embrace, you know, and this euphoric expression on both their faces. And she sits down and they turn their attention to the field, and there's their children on the field, all those who are still alive here. And she just turns and looks at him and says, "Now let's pray them home."
Isn't that great? Isn't that what a wonderful vision?
Yeah, well, and I don't think it's fanciful. You know, sure, it's the way the Lord speaks to me in different ways and whatnot, but it's so scriptural. I mean, it's, at least with regards to the saints, that's what they're doing for us. And I think that's helpful to just keep in mind. I mean, people ask all the time, like, where are my loved ones right now? What are they doing? So my encouragement to them is always, you know, until they make it abundantly clear that they're home, they're in heaven, you pray for them. Mm-hmm. So if I die, please don't presume I'm in heaven.
Right.
You know, presume I'm in purgatory.
Right.
Pray me home.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give the impression that everybody who dies is just instantly in heaven. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It is to say that there's a real communion that we share. And for those who've already gone before us who are home, who are in the stands, they're praying for us, inspiring us to live great lives.
Yeah.
You know, I need that. I need that exhortation, that inspiration. And those who've gone before us who are not yet home, we're praying for them to get into the stands.
Yeah.
So the simple point is our friendship never ends.
Yeah. Well, Father John, this is so consonant with what the saints themselves say. Like Saint Therese says, she's not going to heaven to goof off. You know, she wants to spend her time in heaven doing good on earth, you know. And then there's these amazing insights that Catherine of Siena received from the Lord way back in the 14th century, where she couldn't read or write, so she asked Jesus to tell her about stuff, you know. So Jesus kind of told her about stuff. And one of the things he told her about heaven is that you actually know the people that you knew on earth in heaven, and those that you really followed the Lord together with and helped praise the glory of the Lord, your relationship's even closer in heaven, because all the impediments to the perfect communion of love are removed. And then also that the saints in heaven, and everybody who's in heaven is a saint, right?
Indeed.
Not canonized.
Whether they have a feast day or not.
Yeah, right. Everybody, was you have to be detached from all evil and fully desiring God,
right.
You know? And so it says that those in heaven haven't forgotten the people they knew on earth and are really interceding for them. And then the Lord tells Catherine, and I'm going to do everything I can to answer these prayers, provided only that they don't reject my mercy. Hmm. So the need to respond to the offer of mercy, the need to say yes to the forgiveness that Jesus is offering, but the powerful prayer that's going on by those who have already gone ahead and are with the Lord, it's very inspiring what the Lord told Catherine, and it's just identical to what you're saying here today. We're talking to Father John Ricardo, who's a good friend in the Lord. And Father John's been sharing some really wonderful things with us about insights the Lord's given to him about how we really are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And I was thinking, Father John, that like right now, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And right now, everybody who's watching or listening is surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And right now, that cloud of witnesses is praying us all home and rooting for us and cheering for us. And it's so great to be aware of that we're not alone. The Lord hasn't left us orphans, not only because he's given us his Holy Spirit and he's personally with us, but he's with us with a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important, I think, to make clear what at least I'm talking about. I mean, I have a choice to make. You know, you have a choice to make. Every one of us who's listening has a choice to make. I am responsible for how I'm going to respond to the offer of salvation that God has offered to me in Jesus. But there's something like it. So by all means, that's true. Mm-hmm. But there's something like a divine conspiracy to erode my resistance to making the wrong choice.
Right.
So I have to make a choice.
Right.
And I got to own it by all means. But thanks be to God, the communion of saints. I mean, so if the great commandment is to love God and to love neighbor, well, those who've gone before us, those who are in the stadium, those who are the great cloud of witnesses praying for us, they're loving God in heaven and they're loving their neighbor. That doesn't just include those who are home in heaven. I'm their neighbor. That means I've got a cloud of witnesses eagerly, longingly praying for me on a daily, perennial basis, like, John, make the right choice.
Right. It's probably a customized, personalized cloud, too. I mean, it's people who particularly know us and love us, plus others that we don't know that have adopted us.
Yeah, I mean, the Lord himself says, you know, that my guardian angel beholds my Father's face.
Yeah.
You know, so someone, at least one person anyway, my guardian angel, is devotedly praying for me, you know, working on my behalf. Now, again, I have to choose to respond to that. But I find it so encouraging to know that. That's one of the points I think is real important that that I clarify. But the other part that I think is really, it's so, this is our everyday experience with people who we love. We often say, well, you know, whoever it is that I've lost, they're always in my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get that. But there's so much more than just in your thoughts. I mean, they are somewhere. They really are somewhere.
That's right.
And so, I mean, either they're home with the Lord, they're on their way home with the Lord, or heaven forbid, they're not with the Lord and they never will be. So I'll leave to him how that's all going to work out. We just know that's a real possibility, especially for me, because that's the only person I can really be sure about. But I was talking to a good friend of mine. He's a Protestant pastor, and his best friend was his father. And when he passed away, it was just devastating for him. So we're having lunch one day. I said, do you mind if I ever ask, or if I ask, if you ever talk to him? And he looked at me and says, that would never enter my mind. I said, really?
It's funny. You almost think that humanly, that would just rise up from somebody's heart and mind. You know, they're just, even apart from the bond in Christ, the communion in Christ.
But I think there's such a strong orientation in so many people who've been formed a particular way to think, I can't do that. That's talking to the dead. That's forbidden. Right. We can't go there.
Right.
So I just shared with them. I didn't name Catherine or Therese or some others. I just shared with them some of the wisdom of the saints, you know, that I've heard through my life as a priest and before. And as I'm sharing all this, and I shared my experiences of people that I've loved who've died and how I try to talk to them. And he's looking at me, just starts crying. And we get down, he says, I would love to be able to do that. So I saw him, this was probably 5-6 years ago. I saw him not too long ago, we were having dinner. I said, can I go back to that conversation we had? You ever talk to your dad now? He says, I talk to my dad every day.
Well.
I said, no kidding.
Yeah.
He says, yeah. I said, what's it like? He goes, it's so rich. Just to know that the relationship that we have, I mean, nothing's ever lost with God,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
God's trying to bring everything back together.
Yeah, he's the God of the living, not of the dead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he promises, you know, even if you die, you'll still live, you know? You know, it's a tremendous promise of tremendous hope.
So for us, I mean, you know, one of the things that that's so important, I think, practically to stress is the best thing I can do for my loved ones who've died is to pray for them.
Because a lot of us just aren't really ready for the full dose of unveiled God, you know, there needs to be purification that happens.
Absolutely. So it's a noble thing to pray for the dead.
Yeah.
You know, we see that in the scriptures. We certainly see it in the lives of the saints as they testify to this.
We see it in the tradition of the early church where they prayed, you know, for the dead. And,
you know. Yeah, you walk through the catacombs and you see what was going on there. You see how the early church lived archaeologically. You know what they did in the first few centuries.
Yeah. Huh?
This was a normal part of their life. The beautiful story of Augustine's mom, Monica, when she's passing away, and she makes a point to stress to Augustine, you just make sure that when I die, you offer Mass for me.
And at the end of the confessions, Augustine invites everybody who reads the confessions to remember Monica, you know?
Exactly. So we have to be careful. We avoid the extreme of going, oh, you know, Ralph was such a great guy. I am sure he is just, you know, he's sitting back, I don't know, having a mug of his favorite drink now in heaven. It's just so great. I mean, please God, when you die, that's what's going to be happening, but I'm going to be praying for you until the Lord makes it otherwise clear.
Yeah.
So we want to do that for each other. And that's not morbid. That's a way in which we express our grief.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah, you know, that same passage has always struck me too, Father John, about grieve, but not like the pagans who have no hope. I mean, there's the human reality of being torn apart from somebody that you love and that you've formed your life around in some ways as friends or siblings or spouses or whatever. And there's just it's good humanly to acknowledge that I've just lost something that's really important for me, but it's tempered by the fact that, hey, this person is now hopefully with the Lord because they died as a Christian, and that there's going to be a reunion, and right now there is a communion.
That's right. Yeah. I think Jesus is teaching us that, right? So one of the real strong teachings in the Second Vatican Council is that the Lord not only reveals to us who God is, He reveals to us who we are. So He's teaching me how to be authentically human. Mm-hmm. One of the things He teaches me in the Scriptures is how to grieve. He grieves at Lazarus' death. He grieves over the rejection of Jerusalem.
That's right. He on both those occasions, He's weeping, which is really something, isn't it?
Yeah, and you might know better than me, but if I'm not mistaken, the Greek word there is, it's like copious tears. It's not, you know, wiping away a little tear. It's bawling.
Yeah, he's groaning at the profound sadness and sorrow of what sin and death have brought into the world, and what the rejection of God has brought into the world, and the misery that human beings are bringing upon themselves, and that has come through the wickedness of the devil and the collaboration of human sin. All those things profoundly affect him as a man.
And unlike you and me, as we're grieving, watching a loved one pass and slip from here to the next life, and to judgment, we're powerless. I mean, it's one of the most awkward moments as a priest, is being there at the grave or at the bedside of somebody who's dying. Like, I can't stop this. I can anoint you, I can pray with you, I can hear your confession. I can't stop this. You're going.
This is above my pay grade.
Yeah, I mean, I got no control here, but Jesus is not powerless here. Jesus did not only can do something, did do something about this.
Yeah.
Took death on his shoulders, destroyed it.
Right.
That's the beauty.
And he raised Lazarus from the dead, not that was what was going to happen for every dying person here on earth, but as a sign of the resurrection that's being promised to everybody who dies in the Lord.
And that's the hope, right? So, I mean, that's how I grieve. So, as you say, I mean, it is a human reality that when it has to be the case, and that someone who I love greatly, someone who's impacted my life, when they are no longer here, the right human response is to miss them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was just at a funeral recently of somebody who wasn't a Christian, and it was unclear what was believed by the congregation, but what the sermon said at the funeral was, well, this person lives on in our memories. And that was about all that they seemed to be able to say, you know? And it was just kind of sad that the full revelation of the risen Christ, you know, wasn't able to break through the fuzziness or the murkiness or the shadowiness of the whole situation. And
right.
It was just like, I just felt like, I want to tell you about the risen Lord Jesus. You know, I want to tell you about what He's done to overcome death. I want to tell you what happens to the souls that die, and, you know.
Yeah, that's grieving with no hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever it is was a wonderful man, a woman. And we've got some great pictures and some good pictures in our minds, but that's it. I'm never going to see you again. You're dust.
Yeah. Well, Father John, we only have a short time left. How about just talking to folks about what's on your heart?
Yeah, you know, why don't we just conclude with John 11, you know, with this great scene in the gospel when Lazarus has passed away and Jesus shows up, but Jesus shows up, at least so it seems, a few days too late, and he's greeted by Martha, and Martha looks at him and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Which many people would read as a great expression of faith, and I'm sure it is. I also read it as a real stinging indictment, and who can't relate to this who's lost a loved one? Because the implication is, Lord, you weren't here. At least you didn't seem to be here, and my brother's gone, and now you're here, but it's too late. How many of us right now who are sitting here watching this are thinking something similar as we think about a loved one who's gone in the last couple of days or the last couple of months or however long it's been, and we're wondering, Lord, where were you? And so the Lord looks at Martha and says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then here's the question. I think this is what the Lord wants to say to all of us right now. Do you believe this? And perhaps immediately afterwards, he might ask, and if you do, can anybody tell? So Ralph mentioned how important it is for us to be heralds of the gospel, heralds of the new evangelization. And one of the strongest ways that we can show forth our faith is how we deal with grief. Are we like the pagans who grieve with no hope? Or are we men and women who, in the midst of our great tears, in the midst of all of our sadness, in the midst of our loss, yet are able to grieve with great hope and to bear testimony and witness to our friends who are often trying to support us because we know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Hey, thanks very much, Father John. Really appreciate that.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.